encouraged with our word this evening, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We thank Thee, Father, we can take these requests before Thee, the omniscient, all-powerful, everlasting Father, concerned about these things we pray for, the man, the people, the children, the wives, the women, all these needs. We ask Thee for the needs themselves, minister to them, and the people that requested them, the people that have need of these needs, minister to them. If they're not saved and born again and trusting Thee as Savior, the Lord Jesus, may that be the first part of their lives. If they are trusting Thee, give them comfort in all these problems and sicknesses that they have. And guide us now as we open up Thy Word in this book of 2 Corinthians. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Well, we'll push all our buttons up here and turn our recording. Before we have our 2 Corinthians, we're very well favored to have my dear friend Solomon Joe, Pastor Solomon Joe from Liberia, West Africa. He had watched me come two times to Liberia, one time to Sierra Leone in Africa many, many years ago. Mm. We're glad to have him here visiting with us. He was here all day, had good fellowship with him. He'll stay overnight and go back to many other things in the United States. I've asked him to come and give a word of testimony. 3 to 5 minutes, whatever the Lord lays on your hand, Brother Joe, come up and give it. Pastor Solomon Joe from Liberia, West Africa.
Okay. That's too high. I want to shut this right down. Thank you, Dr. Witt. When he said to my friend, that's a humbling statement. I think he's suggesting my son. When we consider ourselves his children, since we found him in a waste paper basket, I always said that. We didn't know him and went to visit the Liberia Baptist missionaries, and we found this bulletin in the waste paper basket, and we tried to pick it. I was trying to catch on everything. He said, don't think that he is very controversial. I said, I'm going to read this, and I did. That resulted in that conviction. We invited him twice in Liberia and once in a refugee camp. And today we have the Refuge Baptist Church you visited. I don't think you would be able to go there again anymore. But Refuge Baptist Church is in the heart of Monrovia, building a new structure. We are now meeting in the basement of that structure. But I am grateful that a group of men that I have worked with invited me to come to speak to them and to help them with their leadership and to get them firm on the path of biblical fundamentalism, which we pushed both in our radio messages and TV debate and think. And I came and was attacked again by my heart, and God has miraculously helped us to have attended the hospital, first in Nazareth, and transferred to Temple University Hospital, where they did a good job, and I can move around again. And that's what I told the other man, well, if they have failed, they will be waiting for you in heaven. And I'm grateful that I'm in Bible for Today Baptist Church again. It's a privilege for me to meet Dr. and Mrs. Witt. I call them our mother and father. And it has been a wonderful, wonderful time there. I kept shedding tears today. He and I were going with Mrs. Witt in Yekepa. And he would grab these two heavy books filled luggage. And he would run across that track. Now today I saw him walking. And he reduced him to be baby again, our baby. And I'm just grateful that God brought me, and I'm glad for work that has been done. And I said there have been thousands and thousands of people who have heard about Jesus Christ and biblical fundamentalism and the King James Bible who are taking their stand from him. And If he goes up into heaven before I come, let him tell Jesus I'm behind him. But I believe we are his product in our conviction. And we cannot regret sometimes he's controversial, he passed a controversial thing to us. And we cannot help but be controversial. And we thank God. And anyone who believes the Bible today, as God wanted it to be taught, will have problem. Yes. Christ told us that. He himself has problem. And so we should not be deterred. We should not be heartbroken or forsaken. He's there with us. And so I want to be grateful for that. I'm in your fine country. And I came to this country not only to teach, but to say thanks to the American people who in the 20th or in the 30s send their children, young men, young women, to the dark continent, yes. Africa.
Yes.
And as a result of their suffering and pain, I trusted Christ as Savior. Yes. And I promised them that I would teach the Bible the way they wanted it taught.
Amen.
And the trouble they have, they passed it on to me, and I gladly receive it for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I'm grateful to be here.
Amen.
And I'm glad to live for the food.
Yes.
And the fellowship.
Amen.
Don't say your friend, I'm your son.
Yeah.
My son and now he's black son.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Lord. God bless you. Years how long ago came to visit us all the way over from Liberia, other friends he has in this country. Praise God for you. Alright, let's open our Bibles for Canada, the book of 2 Corinthians. Thank you for that testimony, Pastor Joy. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's back up to verse 21, 22, and 23. We had 22 last week, but just we had those who are listening by the internet. Be sure to greet us and listen to us at 856-261-9018 or in your email, questions@bftbc.org. Glad to hear from you. Say hello to Pastor Joel. Greet him. All of you are listening to us on the internet. Appreciate that. Let's now all of us begin chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. Let's read verse number 22, 23, and 24 together. Who hath also sealed us and given us earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I will God for a record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Not for that we have committed over your faith, but our helpers of your joy, for by faith he stand. All right, verse 1 of 22. Who has sealed us? Hands up if you know the answer, but who's the who referred back to, and who are the us? Any hands on that? Any hands up, Tammy?
God the Father.
God the Father is the who, all right. And the us?
It's all
Corinth, then by application, those of us who are here. Who has sealed us? What does that mean? Any hands on that? Sealed us. God the Father sealed genuine Christians. What does that mean? Any hands on that? Yeah. Pastor Dan.
Sealed us for some portion of salvation.
Okay, and
for
what?
Our salvation.
Well, what does sealed mean? What does that convey? Any hands on that?
Something like a mark of ownership.
Okay, and sealed. A mark of ownership, and what else? Does that mean it's permanent or fluctuating?
You know, permanent. I think
permanent.
The Holy Spirit is our seal.
Is our seal. So,
permanent.
Permanent. Okay, that's good.
Verse
22. Verse 22. 1 Corinthians 1:22. Seals, and what has the other part of that verse 22 said? By the way, questions. At bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Now, in the last part of 2 Corinthians 1:22, what else has God the Father done for genuine Christians? Any hands on that?
He has given us the earnest.
Well, what does earnest mean?
The earnest is that of the Holy Spirit.
Okay, and what does earnest mean?
That
could be it, Tammy.
Yeah.
Tammy?
Well, like earnest money when you buy a house, You have to put money down.
Write it down.
Show that you're earnest or genuine in your desire to buy them.
All right. So that's the down payment, the first payment. And what is the down payment? What is the earnest that he's given us, the last part of verse 20? Any hands on that? Pastor Joe.
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. And everyone has the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit in our hearts. Our bodies become the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Not everyone.
Speaking of the are, meaning the are, the us, which means the genuine Christians. Only genuine Christians have the earnest of the Spirit. So go back to that us, referring only to genuine Christians. All right, questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. And then verse number 23. Paul calls them for a record. What does that mean, a record? Any hands on that? Call them for a record. Any hands on that? Pastor Joe?
Witness.
Could be a witness. What else might that be? Any hands on that? A record. Pastor Dan?
Well, when you have a record of something, you write it down in a book, or you write it down on a computer log, you use something to record it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a record. And it can be the idea of a witness that comes back as a witness.
All right.
Of something.
All right. And he said, a record upon my soul. What would that mean? A record upon my soul. God for a record upon my soul.
Oh, my God for the record. God to be the witness. God describes the genuine and true record. I mean, other people can give some type of earthly witness.
All right, the Pastor Joe.
Yes, but the purpose of which it did not come.
Okay.
Known by God himself.
Okay. And that last part of this verse says he did not come unto Corinth, and that verse also says not yet. Well, later on in the next verse we'll see why, but before we get to that verse, why did Paul not come yet to Corinth? Any hands on that? Why did that come here, Tammy?
They want to spare them grief.
All right, I want to spare them grief. What did he find in 1 Corinthians in that church that was very, very bad? Any hands on that? Pastor Dan?
Things are all mixed up, upside down, and backwards. Doctrinal behaviors. Doctrinal beliefs.
Pastor Joe? All right, yes, go ahead. Barbara Levaster from North Church.
Okay, wait. Before we get too far down the road, I'd like to read something about the earnest.
All right.
From Ephesians.
Okay.
That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Mm-hmm. Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory.
Yes. Amen. Thank you very much. That's way up here to Barbara Lester here in North Jersey. Thank you very much, Barbara.
South Jersey.
Pardon me, South Jersey. Okay.
Yeah, she's not too far away.
Over here. No. Yes, Pastor Joe.
Yes, I thank God for that verse too, because in the Ephesians account, he connected the seal, the earnest, to that of the purchase redemption, the whole totality of redemption.
Whole totality of redemption.
Yeah.
Seal, that whole seal. That's very good. So, notice there in verse number 23, he got the record from his soul. Why did he not come again to Corinth? And he answered that. At that time. Why did he not come? Any hands on that? Ten?
I'll repeat what I said.
Okay.
Spread
the grief, because he had lots of problems at Corinth through there, and didn't want to come rustling up again, harming them and giving them grief again. Was he very strong when he came to 1 Corinthians against what they were doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, better than yes.
He was.
Very strong and upset many of them. But he told what it was. These people are all sorts. I said, I'm this, and Tammy.
Was he more strong in his letters than he was in person, though?
I don't know whether he's strong in letters, but...
Yes, that's what he said.
Yes, his letters.
Yes.
Yes, but probably this prayer...
He said that his words are witty,
his body appearing
is weak.
His preparing body was weak, but his words are very strong. I suppose even when he was there, he was very firm and probably told them what it was. But his letter, 1 Corinthians, is very strong. So he's not going to come here to anyone. He wants to spare them any grief at all. Didn't come yet. And then in verse number 24.
I don't get that verse.
Okay. Someone clarify that verse. Questions at bftbc.org, rate 562-619-018. Anybody have a hand on that to clarify that verse? My wife does not yet understand that verse. The hands are clarification.
Well, dominion has got you being having control of something.
Mm-hmm. No,
it's just under
verse
23. Verse 23.
Okay, so remember all the events that were happening in chapter 1. Pardon me, 1 Corinthians, all the problems the church was having.
I don't remember that exactly.
In chapter 5, the immorality that was going on,
yeah,
and other things were happening. And so he's delaying his coming to visit Corinth because...
Till they cleared up for that.
Because if he comes too quickly, too soon, then he's going to have to lash out, so he's going to have to correct them.
Yeah.
So they have to force for discipline and rebuke them. And so he's deliberately delaying his coming.
Okay.
So that doesn't... So he restrains himself
mm-hmm.
from having to rebuke them in person.
Okay.
Hopefully that they correct themselves.
Yes.
Okay, that's good.
Go ahead, speak up.
This is Rebecca Howell.
Yeah, Rebecca Howell from South Carolina. Yes, Rebecca,
yeah,
right ahead.
I just wanted to give some... explanation for verse 24.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, it's an explanation in part, perhaps, of why Paul didn't come in person to Corinth, what he says in verse 23. So, being that he wanted to avoid kind of lording over the flock or having cupped his wailing upon them, and so perhaps he's just trying to reiterate that he's there to be engaged in assistance and the rubber hits the road, you're going to have to stand on your own faith. And mm-hmm. so he's saying that for my faith he stands. And so maybe through discernment, the Lord put on him to not come again at that time.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Rebecca. Way to Rebecca Howell and her husband in South Carolina. That's way to. That's good. Thank you very much. We're glad to see them, very glad to surprise us in North Carolina. They came to see us and visit us. David and Rebecca Howell, appreciate that very much. Yes, well, that's a good explanation, Rebecca. Thank you very much. Anything other comments on verse 24? Not the dominion of your faith, but are helpers of joy. Should joy be in the genuine Christian's life and heart? It definitely should be. Even in the midst of problems and difficulties, the Lord can give us joy. In the midst of all of it, so we want to joy, for the, by faith ye stand. Now, what does it mean to stand? Do all the people in this world stand as they ought to stand, genuine Christians? Do they all stand where they should stand? Do some not stand too strong?
Mm-hmm.
Any hands on that? Better found than Pastor Dan.
Well, I think it's Ephesians that says, therefore stand.
Yes, Ephesians.
Do this and that and then stand. Mm-hmm. That's the hardest part, the standing and maintaining
right.
The sameness.
Yes, Pastor Dan?
Some do and some don't.
Some do and some don't. Yes, Pastor Joel.
That you seem to attach the faith we stand as a purpose for the delaying so that they will be able to, as he helped them, they will look to Christ
uh-huh.
as a source of strength, as a source of conviction,
mm-hmm. yes.
rather than a human being walking behind them. I think mm-hmm. this is what I'm saying. I think because we stand by faith.
By faith, yes.
So that when we are alone, Somebody is following me.
Yes.
Christ and I.
Yes.
And so I live by Him. Right. I don't do certain things not because people are seeing me.
Yes.
But because Christ is going to be glorified in me and through me.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Joel. Yes, Rob Winograd from Chicago. Go ahead, Rob. Come to Michigan this year. We don't know. He's very busy. I know with his pools, so they can't get pooled back and forth. And so on. All right. So by faith you are sealed. By faith we stand. And one of the things we had in North Carolina was a church called the Foundations Bible Church and College. Mm-hmm. And they have a ministry there. And the subject this last conference over there, we spoke twice there, different other speakers, was a conference on the remnant. Very, very few that have the strong faith and don't give up on the fundamentals of the faith. Very, very few are just a remnant. So decided that that's what God has. And Pastor Joe there in Liberia, West Africa, a remnant, strong. He doesn't mind controversy, whatever, but strong. Just a few left of us. A lot of people falling away. And so Dr. Spence is the one that had that conference. And we praise God for it. All right, let's read chapter 2, verses 1, 2. Any other comments to chapter 1 before we go on to chapter 2? All right, let's read chapter 2, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. But I determined this with myself, that I should not come again to you in heaviness. Verse 2, together. For if I make you sorry, who is he that meant to make me glad? For the same which is made sorry by me. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have a sorrow, even from those whom I ought to rejoice, have a confidence in you all, that my joy is the joy of you all. My verse number 1. What did Paul say about his attitude in verse number 1? What was his attitude of heart and mind? And the hands on that Tammy and then Pastor Dan.
He wasn't going to come to them again. He determined this unless, if he was grieving over their sin.
Okay, Pastor Dan?
Yeah, basically he wasn't going to come in heaviness.
Right, and the attitude he had in mind was what? Any hands on that?
I won't come like that again.
Rejoicing.
Well, that's true, but first of all, he's determined. Now, what does determined mean? Any hands on that? Dan?
Definite.
Definite.
Resolve.
When somebody resolves a definite, they just want to do something very strong. Questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Now, what was he determined about? Who was he determined by? With who was he determined?
With himself.
With who? And he has that, if what?
With himself.
With himself. Right, his own soul. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes we're determined by others and with others, sometimes just ourselves. So that we're all by ourselves there, all the rest of them by one way, We've got to be determined to go God's way. Always God's way. Determined with myself that what should not happen. Any hands on that?
He will not come again.
Pastor Joel, go ahead.
He will not come again.
How?
In heaviness.
What do you think that would mean, Pastor Joel? Not coming
again. Grief, is it?
Grief, probably grief. And have that hit upon.
He probably was very depressed.
Maybe he's depressed.
He won't come again then.
You're depressed? Any other hands or questions? Tammy?
No, it relates back to the previous verses.
All right.
Where he's talking about sparing them because he didn't want to come to them if he's going to be discouraged about their
yes.
and mourning and grieving.
Yes, but when they had to be reproved for their sins, he was honest about it. He was faithful to the Lord. I'm sure some didn't like it, but we didn't want to continue to do that. Hope they'd get better on their own. Not in heaviness. Then in verse number 2, what does the if clause here mean? Any hands on that? What does the if clause mean? Any hands on that?
The possibility of.
Okay, the if clause. If I make you sorry, see, what does that imply? Any hands on that? What does that imply?
A rebuke.
Yeah, but Tammy and then.
Mm-hmm. Just what Pastor Joe said, he's going to rebuke them.
I said, rebuke.
Yeah.
Yes. Often result
yes.
in sorrow.
In sorrow, yes.
People may not like it.
Not like it. If I?
Well, if I make you sorry, who is he that makes me glad? So if he comes to them all sorry and depressed, he will make them the same way. There'll be nobody left to help. Make me better.
Make him better, give him joy and be glad.
Help me be happy.
And the last part of verse number 2, what do you think that adds to this whole argument? The last part of verse 2, any hands on that one?
You mean, but the same which is made sorry?
Yes.
By me?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Anybody? Sally? Hand it 10?
Well, those just the same. Those are the people that he's going to make sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So they're the same ones that will make him glad if they do what's right.
All right. If he makes them sorry, then they can't make you glad. Vaughn?
If they're so sorry, they don't have anything happy to pass on to them.
To pass on the possible.
Then it makes him sorry.
Makes him sorry as well.
One makes one sorry, one makes the other sorry, and then they're all sorry.
Yes. Then in verse number 3.
Just a minute.
What's your question?
I was just thinking.
Yes.
I'm looking at it that we do not want to go overboard. That when they, like if we rebuke them in chapter 5 of 1 mm-hmm. Corinthians and the rest of it.
Yes.
And that resulted in a sorrow. That we do not want to make the text to say that the rebuker is is regretting for their sorrow.
Yes, regretting is a sorrow.
Sorry, yeah. The sorrow was necessary.
This is what
I'm saying. He has reason to make them to sorry.
Yes.
So what he is saying now, we need to look at that. Is he regretting that he made them sorry?
Mm-hmm. But he needs to because he needs to be repenting of this.
Yeah, okay, that's right. That's what I'm looking at.
Yes, very good.
Isn't this, in verse 2, isn't this referring to if he actually was there physically with them?
Mm-hmm.
And he said he determined that he wasn't going to come to them
mm-hmm.
in heaviness. It goes back to, you know, that he wanted to spare them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he wasn't going to come to them and have that sort of everyone sorrowing together.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not very good fellowship when everyone's sorrowing together.
Right.
As opposed to rejoicing in what the Lord has done.
Right. And as it says in verse 2, if I make you sorry, who then's going to make me glad? He goes there, a bunch of sorrowful people, and he goes there, and no happiness, no gladness. And so the same which is made sorry by me. Mm-hmm. He wants to make very, very good friends and happiness and not sorrow. Then in verse 3, he wrote, he says, the same unto you. Okay, that's in Jacob there. Yes, sir. Jacob and Jacob Romer in Texas. Where, Jacob?
Hey, Mr. Wade, hello, everybody.
Yep.
Hey, Pastor Dubois.
Yes.
I'm from a far country, too, and they call it the Republic of Texas.
Hey, that's it.
Anyway, I want to read this, Pastor Wade, if you let me.
Go ahead.
2 Corinthians 7:8-10.
Yes.
For though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle has made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice not that ye were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance, that ye were made after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of.
Amen. Thank you very much. Wave to Jacob and Dave Romer there in Texas. Thank you very much, Jacob. Now, someone call while he was talking. Call back again if we're unable to get to you. Call back again and give your comments. Questions at bftbc.org, grade 56-261-9018. Very important, is it not? That not to be sorry by them. And then he says that also in verse number 3, I wrote the same unto you when I come, that I came, shall I have sorrow from those whom I ought to rejoice, of whom I ought to rejoice, and having confidence in you all, my joy is the joy of you all. So, what was Paul's desire for these genuine Christians at Corinth in this verse number 3? Any hands on that? What was his desire? Yes, Brother David Howell and Rebecca from South Carolina. Go right ahead.
Hey, Pastor Wade.
David.
I wanted to say greetings to the pastors there from Liberia.
Yes.
And I also wanted to make a comment on, if I may, on Paul and talking as though worried about coming to them in basically a rebuking tone because he's afraid that in his present condition he might offend them. And that was a great concern of Paul to offend. If he offended in Christ, he was fine with that. But if he offended of himself, he worried that that would cause people to be hurt. And then that would not bring them joy. And his main goal was to have people will be in joy in Christ, and that's the way to live the Christian life. And the pastor there from Africa already mentioned, you know, even with the sorrows that we have, even with the corrections and rebuke that we can have joy that Christ is with us.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Okay, let's wave to David and Rebecca Howell there from South Carolina. I appreciate that very much. They came here one time on a Thursday evening, and then from then on, they've been calling in, every faithful, every Thursday, from South Carolina. And in North Carolina, they came to visit us as well. I saw them again, Rebecca and Dave. And then no members did. My son's named David, so I used to call him, I saw the name, but I got it back to David. Thank you very much, David. Appreciate that. All right, so that's verse 1, 2, and 3. Yvonne?
Sounds like Paul doesn't want to say anything that's not kind and that's out of order.
All right.
If he does, then he will make the people sorry, and then he'll be sorry because he made them sorry.
He'll be sorry because he made them sorry. All right, let's read verse 4, 5, and 6 together. For out of much affliction and anguish of heart I wrote unto you with many tears, not that ye should be grieved, that ye might have known the love which I have more abundantly unto you. But if any have caused grief, he hath not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. So in verse 4, What was Paul's attitude as he was writing this letter? Any hands on that? What was his attitude, the first part of verse 4? Yes, Pastor Joel.
Yes, I see. what Paul is doing is just what any pastor would do. You teach these people that anyone who sins need to be disciplined.
Yes.
They did to the discipline.
Mm-hmm.
But the men have repented from what they are saying in the context.
Uh-huh.
The men are it's sorry, but they still hold him there.
Mm.
Now, to come in and say, get the man back, without a proper attitude and preparation will offend the good ones.
Yes.
And then it will make weak those who are already about to slap back. So he coming between them, look, I love you.
Yes.
And when I said to you that this person needs to be disciplined, this is what God wants.
Yes.
Now, removing him is just as God's will and joy. So, the joy he wants to instill is a joy that comes with the obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Not just by doing traditional things, but obeying actually what God wants.
Yes. How do you deal with your people in your church, Pastor Joe? Back in Liberia, that are sliding away and not right now. How do you handle it?
Well, first we keep teaching and then discipline.
Yes.
And then those who repent, we restore them.
Yes.
Now, with this experience, this is why I think this is a good picture of a story for the local church.
Yes.
Because the local church has the division, the category of people, those who are soft.
Yes.
Oh, let us be patient. Let us be patient. And for some, they look at the patient as compromise.
Mm.
And the other guys on the far right, they want to sweep everyone.
Mm-hmm.
Or if that man have been disciplined, and within 3 weeks or so, he repent, they say, let him stay there. Let him stay on that discipline until 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but when the man repent,
yes.
Then he got to be restored. Yeah. And, you know, this is where I'm seeing it. So that the pastor needs to understand what the Word of God is and apply the Word of God without tradition.
Yes.
That's what I do.
Amen. Amen. That's good. So in verse number 3, to spare you when I come as a sorrow. And then verse number 4, much affliction, anguish of heart around unto you, many tears. So was Paul happy to write very strong things to these Corinthians? In Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians, was he proud? Was it easy to do? Was it simple to do this and hands on that?
Not simple.
No, not simple.
Not simple.
Many tears was sorrow. But he was faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He did it. They needed restoration. And if nobody told them, they just go on and on and on.
Yes.
But there was sorrow, as it says, affliction, anguish of heart.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote to you. Many tears.
Yes.
That you should be grieved. Not that you should be grieved, but what does he want to tell them out of all of this? Not grieving, but any hands on that. What did he want them to know about Paul? Pastor Dan.
You may know the love.
The love.
The love.
The love. You see,
that's the principle for the discipline.
Yes. Remember it says about the Lord. Whom he loveth, he chasteth, he scourgeth every son, that we may behave and love him sincerely and strongly, faithful. And so Paul, with many tears, that he should not be grieved, but know the love which I have more abundantly unto you. Sometimes it's love that helps. For instance, when our little children, we've had in our family 3 sons and 1 daughter. And I remember son number 3, a little son Dick, little Ritchie, he was only about 2, and had to spank him for certain things. I have pictures of him with tears in his eyes. I told Dickie, I called him Dickie that all the time, Richard Dickie. He said, Dick, why did Dad spank you? With tears, he said, because he loves me. He got the point. He loves him. He disciplines him so that he might grow up to be a man and a strong, and he has become a strong man, preacher. And it's love that it causes us many times to want to correct and bring up to joy. So that with the joy that might be with all, he wrote more abundantly unto you the love that I have toward you. Yes, that will touch it out. That's the answer. Go ahead.
Coming in here from the Roberts. Sending warm greetings to you and all of the AFT Church family. Thank you very much for tonight's Bible study. We are also grateful for the visiting pastor from Liberia. It was such a tremendous blessing to our hearts to hear this, his testimony. May our Lord and Savior bless his time here in the U.S. and grant him a safe journey when he returns home.
Amen.
In his love, Carl and Vicki.
That's way to Carl and Vicki. It's a Massachusetts.
Maine.
Way up in the city of Maine. Hmm. So we reach out, Pastor Joel.
Amen.
As you know, praise the Lord for Pastor Dan's skill with his internet, reaching out. All these other people calling and they're watching and seeing and looking and listening to your testimony. Praise the Lord for it. So that's that verse there, had a much affliction. I am loved where you have loved me. So 3 and for CS 4, do we read 5 it? Oh, yes.
We read 5 and 6.
What was that? Did we read? We finished?
We read 5 and 6.
5, okay. We didn't read, we didn't have enough.
I don't think we talked about 5 and 6.
Yeah, we stopped at 6.
We didn't comment on number 5, do we?
Yeah, that's good.
What is Paul's if clause here, and what does he mean? What is the if clause, and what does he mean? Any hands on that? What does he mean with this if? Yes, back to that.
He's talking about the grief.
All right. If I have grieved you, what do you say? Do not grieve me, but hath not grieved me, but in part, that I might not overcharge you. What does it mean to overcharge? Any hands on that? Overcharge.
Huh.
Yes, Pastor Joel, and then 10.
To overload, to overburden.
All right.
Or cause to be submerged.
Heavy load.
Be
overwhelmed. Overwhelmed, something like that. Not too much. Mm-hmm. A little bit, just what they need, but not overwhelmed. So not overboard. Be very careful. Mm-hmm. Just not overboard, overcharged. Not overcharge you in any way. Then we read 6, did we not?
Yes.
Now, in verse number 6, what was sufficient? What was sufficient in verse number 6 as far as Paul is concerned? Any hands on that?
It's a punishment.
What is it?
It's punishment.
It's a punishment.
Punishment. Punishment. Which one? Which was it?
Inflicted
of many. Many people were dissatisfied at the church at Corinth as well. And they were, the punishment that was inflicted by some of these others, they didn't like what was going on, so some of the Christians there at Corinth also told them about. All right, question.
Can I just
go ahead, Pastor Joe.
I like the word many.
Hmm.
For the situation in which the 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians were written to the church at Corinth.
Mm-hmm.
And then in chapter 5 of 1 Corinthians,
mm-hmm,
he instructed the church to discipline this man.
Yes.
What
do you want?
And we're up to in verse 13. Rejoice those that I was in.
Mm-hmm.
And then came with the idea that the discipline in the church should not be done by elders.
Mm-hmm.
But by the whole church.
For the whole church.
The fact is that many.
Many, that's right.
Not just one man.
Not just one man, but many in the church. Genuine Christian.
Genuine Christian.
Yes. Any other comments on that verse? Mayor? Any hands on that? All right, go ahead, Dan.
In that particular case, the person that sinned, it was known what.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dan.
Sorry, get the phone.
You sure? Yes, go ahead. Hello.
Hi, yes, Pastor Wade. This is Rebecca Howell from South Carolina. Just another scripture to help kind of round out the discussion. At the end of the letter, in the 10th verse of 13, it says, therefore I write these things being absent, lest being present I should use sharpness, according to the power which the Lord hath given me to education,
yes,
and not to destroy. disruption. So yes. I think that scripture is very helpful with the context and Paul's heart. He yes. wanted to speak the truth in love and didn't want to rail against the people. And so the discernment, you have the discernment there of not going forth in presence. And it seems that the scripture says that he was afraid, maybe even getting in the flesh, his zeal for righteousness and holiness, but getting in the flesh perhaps using sharpness that's not of the Lord, but more himself in his
deal.
So that's all. I just wanted to add that.
Yes, thank you, Rebecca. Let's call Rebecca again. Wave Rebecca again, South Carolina. Appreciate a very good comment. Praise the Lord.
Tammy was in the middle of talking.
Well, that's all right. She's going to finish. I'll wait.
You
go to Tammy. Tammy, anything else about that?
Well, I was just getting started.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking about the actual situation
mm-hmm.
was the man that was in an incestuous relationship, and the church couldn't partake in the discipline unless they knew what was actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
So they were actually aware
mm-hmm.
of what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it wasn't just a rumor. It was something that was confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
It was certain. You know, I don't know. That was all that I really wanted to say. Is it can't be inflicted, correct punishment, unless you actually know the facts.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to start with this verse for today. Lord willing, next week, Pastor Dan will continue verse 7 and begin from there. But do you have any of the comments on this first part of this chapter 2? Tonight before we close. Well, if not, let's close in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee that we can study Thy words together. We thank Thee for Pastor Joel's testimony, glad he's here, many good comments. We thank Thee for those good comments from people all around this country, different states, calling in and telling about the words of the Heavenly Father. We guide them and direct them, Lord. Bless their ministry. Help our church to stand fast and firm for the faith. Help the Pastor Joel as well. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Let's go ahead. That's one more thing. Absolutely. Oh my. Too late.